Sound Agency.
Welcome to this edition of Move to Amend Reports, where we connect you with activists and organizers working on the front lines of the democracy movement to bring you the lowdown on corporate rule, corporate personhood, and money as speech. This is the space to find info you need to help pass the We the People Amendment and legalize democracy. I'm Egberto Willis, and
I'm Laura Barnum. We've got an important show for you this week, folks. We've got a conversation about the contamination of Flint's water supply leading to lead poisoning in the population and its connections with the Detroit water crisis with Michigan grassroots organizers Shay Howell of Detroit and Naira Sharif of Flint. We'll get the ball rolling after a quick public service announcement.
To learn more about corporate personhood, money as protected political speech, and how to get involved with Move to Amend, visit movetoamend.org. Don't forget to sign the petition and join over 400,000 people supporting the We the People Amendment at movetoamend.org/motion. You can also text the word sign to 707-656-4019.
Does your elected representative support amending the U.S. Constitution to end corporate constitutional rights and get money out of politics? You can help us find out by joining Move to Amend's Pledge to Amend campaign. Help persuade local, state, and federal legislators to pledge support for our We the People amendment. Recruit co-sponsors for this amendment in the U.S. House and Senate. For more information, visit movetoamend.org/pledge-amend. That's movetoamend.org/pledge-amend.
You're listening to Move to Amend Reports, where we bring you the voices from the movement to amend the Constitution and abolish corporate rule.
Shay Howell is a grassroots organizer and member of Detroiters Resisting Emergency Management, based in Detroit, Michigan. Shay is a professor and former chair of the Department of Communication and Journalism at Oakland University in Rochester, Michigan, where she teaches courses on communication theory and multicultural and political communication. She's a founding member and board member of the Boggs Center in Detroit, a space to nurture the development of visionary organizing rooted in place and history. Her most recent book is Making Sense of Political Ideology. Also with us, Naira Sharif is a grassroots organizer and resident based in Flint, Michigan. Naira is a member of the Flint Democracy Defense League with nearly 10 years' experience organizing local, state, and national electoral and issue campaigns. She's been featured on Democracy Now! And Netroots Nation in 2014, speaking out about the problem with Flint's water supply and with Michigan's emergency management of local governments. Naira has previously worked in the engineering, higher education, social justice, and youth development sectors. Welcome to the show, Shay and Naira.
Thank you. We're very glad to be here.
Yes, I am.
Well, look, it's an honor to have you guys with us. So, look, we're so glad you could join us. But before we dive into the water crisis in Flint and Detroit, we'd like our listeners to know a little bit more about your work at the grassroots level. So, Naira, could you please tell us a little bit about the mission and work of the Flint Democracy Defense League and what inspired you to get involved in that work?
Well, I've always kind of volunteered my time as a grassroots organizer because I figured I have these skills. I might as well use them for the greater good of the community. So we actually formed the Flint Democracy Defense League because we were a group of individuals who were collecting signatures for the petition to repeal Public Act 4, which was the first emergency manager law. And with the appointment of Flint's emergency manager in 2011, we decided that we needed to form a group to specifically confront, like, the face of this undemocratic law.
You know, that's amazing, because very few people are really aware of what's going on in Michigan and a few other states as well. But anyhow, at Move to Amend, we supply the tools and resources to empower grassroots leaders, not only to help build a movement to establish, but for the first time in this nation, authentic participatory democracy, which represents all people, but also read as an army of future leaders, well-versed in people-centered history and democratic action, ready to take on the reins when we win. We have great respect for the work of Box Center. So, Shay, could you please talk about the center's mission and also highlight what you think are among the most effective programs that you guys have?
Well, the Bog Center's mission is to develop and nurture community leadership by encouraging visionary organizing that not only resists these assaults on democracy, but very much creates alternative ways of living and governing ourselves. So we both resist and create alternative structures. And I would say at the Bog Center, some of our most important work has been in encouraging urban agriculture, in developing alternative forms of education, and particularly programs like Detroit Summer and the Boggs Educational Center, which is a school right now that hopefully will be K-12 before too long.
You are also a member of the Detroiters Resisting Emergency Management. Will you tell us a little bit about your mission and its connection to your work at the Bog Center?
Yes, well, the Bog Center joined the efforts, as Naira pointed out, to get rid of an undemocratic law that was called Public Act 4, which created emergency financial managers all around Michigan, primarily in communities of color. And that effort statewide was successful. The people voted down Public Act 4, but in a late night session in our state legislature, the governor and the right-wing legislature enacted a new law, which they now call just emergency managers, giving sweeping powers to appointed individuals who set aside all elected officials. And so with that action, we joined a coalition of organizations in Detroit called Detroiters Resisting Emergency Management. And that's what led us to this current fight.
Now, isn't it true that the way they wrote that law as well, it wasn't subject to people being able to rise up against it or poll? Isn't there something of that nature in that law?
Right. What they did is they put an appropriations element into the law. And by our state constitution, any law with an appropriations element cannot be subject to voter referendum. So they not only subverted the will of the people, but they made sure they could continue to subvert the will of the people.
Yeah, I think that was a very important point that needed to be made, because again, that was a constitutional way to take rights away from the citizens of Michigan.
Yes, absolutely.
So the news we've heard coming out of Flint regarding the lead poisoning of the population is horrifying, especially when we learn that the poisoning continued long after it was discovered. Naira, we've heard the corporate-owned news version of the Flint water crisis, which sounds more like a comedy of errors than what appears to be calculated decisions by both elected and unelected officials with the eventual knowledge of the poisoning long before it became public. What's your take on this entirely preventable tragedy?
Well, I will put the media also in that pool of complicit actors and conspiring to really not get the word out and to allow this to continue, because as residents, we went down to city council to the bastardization of what that was and spoke out during public comments to people emailed the elected officials, they visited the elected officials, and they were still in action with that. So the people actually had to go out and do their own research, and really getting Aaron Brockovich, water expert Bob Bocott, in here in to come to Flint by going onto her Facebook page and showing pictures of the discolored water. And he came here and gave people information and gave people some sort of validation so they could move on to continue to organize and reaching out to Virginia Tech. They really assisted in designing the process for citizen collection of water samples and really like pushed the issue. And now what we're having on the ground here with our quote unquote rescue is we have marginalized communities continuing to be marginalized because the low income public housing and Section 8 housing are not getting water by these delivery systems. It, once again, they're being shunted off to the side.
What kind of action is being taken to correct that? Are there community relief efforts happening to relieve them while you fight with the emergency manager? I assume the emergency manager is still in place.
Well, officially, we do not have an emergency manager, but we're still under the dictatorship of the emergency manager law.
Okay.
So we have an appointed city administrator with basically all of the powers of the emergency manager, and we have a receivership transition advisory board who has who have vetoed decisions by our local elected officials to give out tax abatements to corporations and other special interests.
As your community takes on this horrible legacy of corporate rule, are you finding that as people are struggling with just the issues of contaminated water, that they're organizing in a political way as well?
Well, it's a whole host of things that are happening because we have many in the community who, as this was going on, really believed and had trust in the government, believable that their government would lie to them. So you have kids who are psychologically damaged from either being lead poisoning, but that was the latest of the health scares with this because the overchlorination of the water, people had rashes, their hair is falling out. And so you have like a whole generation of people here that are damaged by that. Their homes are falling apart. The plumbing is falling apart because of the corrosiveness of the water. So you do have people organizing, but you still have people who are really like in PTSD.
Yeah, really. So this story becomes even more tragic when one considers the lifelong consequences of lead exposure on children. And you've already mentioned some of the health effects folks are experiencing. What's the average day in the life of a Flint resident like now that this has happened?
Well, one of the things is like the lead copper rule and most of our regulations around water is for drinking water. So water for cooking and bathing is not regulated and there are no protections for that. So right now the National Guard is only giving out one case of water per day. But the water is still not safe to cook in. So they're okay with you not drinking, not using the water to drink with, and to not cook with, but they're not really giving you the resources for you to actually do that. So you also have a lot of people who aren't bathing in the water. So with this daily quota of water, you have people choosing whether or not they're going to wash their hair or if they're going to cook spaghetti.
Oh, my. Because you can't, you know, just to make things clear, what's wrong with Flint's water can't be boiled out of it. It's lead.
Yeah.
It's a mineral. It's
yeah.
there. In
yeah.
If you're supposed to be cooking with it, then you're ingesting it just like if you were drinking it. My word.
Yeah, so we have, and then we also have to, I will say, barrel through, you know, some of the misinformation, because we have many of our elderly or people in the immigrant community, all they know how to do is to boil the water to make it safe. So we have to really, like, educate them on how to use the filters, how to use the water. And, like, really, like, people's whole way of life is being changed, and all these illnesses that are cropping up, like, people are having, like, allergies to things that they never had allergies to before. I actually, now I have grandma seizures from using the water, so now I cannot drive. And people's whole entire way of life has been changed by the inaction and the decisions of the emergency manager in the state of Michigan that decided that balanced budgets were more important to people's lives.
This is a national disaster. And what drives many people crazy, including yours truly, is that the level of this disaster is not being displayed neither by the media or anyone else. I just had to say that this is simply a national disgrace. Look, Flint isn't alone in its struggle with government ignoring their basic need. Detroit hit the headlines just a couple years ago over another kind of water crisis. The water wasn't poisoned, but was simply made unaffordable under emergency management, which ordered water shutoffs over unpaid residential bills. With many thousands of Detroiters left in an urban desert, which the UN condemned as a crime against humanity, water being the very essence of life and its total privatization looming large on the horizon, what comparisons and contrasts can be made between these cities, and how does this piece of the puzzle fit into the larger pattern of corporate rule and the systemic oppression of communities, in your opinion? So let's start with Shay on this one, and then we'll move on to Naira.
Well, I think that's a very important question, because there are a lot of similarities. Both Flint and Detroit are facing a water crisis because of emergency manager legislation, which has completely dismantled any ordinary local democratic control. And people need to understand the dimensions of this. 75% of all elected African American officials in the state have been removed from effective local power. So over 50% of African Americans are living in communities where there is no effective local power because of this emergency manager law. And that means people have not been able to use local government and its ordinary checks and balances to deal with this effort to privatize water and make money off of it. So that's the first level. The second level is people in Flint have been experiencing water that they cannot drink, and people in Detroit have not been able to drink water that they cannot afford. So in Detroit, in the last 2 years, 91,000 households have been shut off from water. That is more households than the entire city of Flint. So we are experiencing a human rights crisis because there is no national consensus and certainly no state consensus that water is a human right. And so one of the things that both Flint and Detroit are raising for the nation is, do we understand the fundamental necessity of guaranteeing basic rights to all of our people?
Very well said, Shay. Naira, you want to take a stab at it?
Yes. In addition to what Shay has discussed, we have water and pay one of the highest bills in the nation for water. We have water that we cannot drink, and people in Flint are paying two water bills, water that they cannot drink, and then water that they can drink by purchasing water from the store. Then the other thing that was happening under our emergency manager, Darnell Early, who is now the emergency manager for Detroit Public Schools, is he hired two special investigators to build cases to prosecute people for quote-unquote stealing water. So we need to really get together because water is not a human right. And Shay did mention a package of water affordability, the Water is Human Right bill package, which is a series of eight bills that is currently in our Michigan House of Representatives. That in Michigan, we need to organize and do that. But nationally, we need to close some of these loopholes where we do have protections for cooking and bathing water, and to make the United States to have a constitutional right to water, because we don't have that currently.
Well, you know, as one of the leaders in our organization always say, the Constitution is not a human rights document. It's a property rights document. No protection for humanity. Look, thank you on that one, Naira. Couldn't have said it any better, both Naira and Shay.
We'll continue this conversation after a quick public service announcement.
Move to Amend's We the People Amendment is the only proposed amendment in Congress that addresses both Supreme Court-created doctrines of corporate personhood and money as speech, the very foundation of corporate rule. Passing the We the People Amendment is the necessary first step in transforming our democracy to one that truly represents the 99%. Go to movetoamend.org/amendment, read it, and take action today.
Are you part of a faith or ethical community whose values and principles are being violated by corporate actions? We the people of the Move to Amend Interfaith Caucus share in common a variety of values and principles. In this unity, we find the short-sighted and single-minded drive for profits by certain corporations has led to the degradation of the environment and our society. Corporate power has come to dominate our existence, with the values and principles we all hold dear being routinely violated by powerful corporations using their so-called personhood to influence elections, legislation, regulations, and judicial outcomes in their favor and at our expense. It is the purpose of the Interfaith Caucus to engage faith and ethical communities and educate about how the work of ending corporate rule can be approached from a spiritual, ethical, or religious perspective. Working together at national, state, local, and faith community levels, we can pass the We the People Amendment. Join us on our monthly calls the third Wednesday of each month at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Visit movetoamend.org/interfaith-caucus for more information.
You are listening to Move to Amend Reports, where we connect the dots between the current issues of our time and the nature of corporate rule. We're talking with Flint organizer Naira Sharif and Detroit organizer Shay Howell about the water crisis in their communities and its connections to emergency management.
Despite the scale of this crisis, corporate media does not seem to have given Flint or Detroit the same level of attention as it would a flu epidemic. But that's not stopping Flint residents from raising awareness and speaking out to the government scandal, including a public teach-in about the water crises in both cities, followed by a People's Tribunal on Water Crimes, which you both participated in. Please tell us a little bit about what was learned at this teach-in and the People's Tribunal. Let's hear Naira first and then Shay.
Well, we had an opportunity to really discuss what was happening on the ground, some of the history that was not really told because it wasn't covered with the media, and just really the people coming together to organize and build coalitions, because some of those people I've never would have even encountered. So really like strengthening, I would say, our building trust amongst the people, you know, like involved in that, and then also building trust across the community, because the community knows we've been fighting this issue since the emergency manager made the decision to switch our water source to Flint River water. So they've seen us. Now we are part of monitoring what's happening with the delivery process. We were able to stop a ID requirement to get water from the fire station, and also lifting up many in our undocumented community did not know that the water was unsafe to drink because they were not notified and there were not materials translated in Spanish to make it accessible to everyone.
So it was did the People's Tribunal, beyond, which is great to hear about, the, you know, building alliances and working together, were the associated groups that were there able to form any kind of list of demands?
Yes. This is Shay. The People's Tribunal had originally been proposed by people in Flint over a year ago. And it took us really until this past month to be able to create a form for that to happen. And the point of the tribunal was to bring together both Flint and Detroit to demonstrate first the human costs of this horrific policy across the state of making decisions about people's lives in absolute crude authority. So we had representatives from Flint talk about what was happening there on the witness stand, representatives from Detroit talking about shutoffs. And then we looked at the defense given by our mayor and our governor. And essentially what they are saying is that they are running governments where the bottom line is the only thing that matters. And in response to that, we had a tribunal of mostly elder, well-respected activists who I'm pleased to say acknowledged that these folks are guilty of crimes against humanity. And from that, there's a host of actions to take. Among them, as Nayira said, there are bills both at the state level and at the national level about how to protect our water, not only as a human right, but as a public trust.
Great. That's great. So given that Flint and Detroit are both majority black cities and among the poorest in the nation, do you think more attention would have been paid and quicker actions taken had this happened in a predominantly white city?
This wouldn't have happened in a predominantly white city.
And that's your take too. I assume, Naira. That's our take. We're all in agreement.
Yep.
And that's a crying shame, too.
Well, I think, though, it's important for us to understand it's not an accident. That there is in this country an assault on the cities that have emerged as centers of African-American political power and thinking. And that assault is reflected in this kind of action. And, of course, it's deeper than that as well. It goes through our school system. It goes through the use of support of any kind of public responsibility. But there's no mistake. This wasn't an accident. It is part of a national effort to strip African-American and progressive forces of political power that has been gained over the last four decades.
Well, I do believe you're absolutely correct. It's a function of corporate rule, and it's, you know, it's the first line of attack. And those of us that move to amend strongly believe that if this can happen in any one of these cities where it, according to the power structure that's in place, that's where they can begin. But if this can actually happen and go on and be ongoing month after month, year after year, then this can happen in any city, anywhere, with any debt at all. It's kind of like Angela Merkel's gang has taken over these legislatures and state houses around the country, and they're just looking for their opportunity to begin this process of pushing people out, especially those who are oppressed and disenfranchised. And that soon is encapsulating, you know, a lot of poor white people too. It's going to keep happening.
From my point of view, there's no question, but this is the first line of attack. but the growing consolidation of control of land and water globally is now beginning to be felt in American cities. And while it's happened to Detroit and Flint now, there's no question but this is just a testing ground and we'll be moving into other cities as well.
Yes, this is Naira, and I would like to say that the emergency manager law is what austerity is looking like in the United States.
Oh, well put.
That is so true. I like the analysis that went into that, and that in realizing that this is just a start. Right now, it's a start in minority communities, currently specifically Black communities, because it's an easy target. If you notice, they learn how to work with the media. Notice there's not a whole lot of media that took it on. And even as Rachel Maddow has pushed it, still, there's not a whole lot of media that's taking it on. This is a poisoning of over 100,000 people. And the fact that this isn't on air 24/7 as an emergency, whereas, as Naira explained, people can't even cook. They're restricted to one case of water a day. Again, this is an attempt to save money, not to put these things out. This is actually something that has to be put out there. And the work that both of you are doing as activists is important, and Move to Amend and all the other folks that we are intertwined with, we all have to make the commitment to not just talk about this, but do something about this, because this is darn serious. But anyhow, off my soapbox, we've heard a lot about the organizing going on in Flint and Detroit. Folks are organizing to provide immediate help in terms of basic survival and are organizing for political solutions. Question, are you seeing as much frustration with the status quo in Washington as with emergency management and an understanding of how unfettered capitalism has contributed to the status quo? And that, both of you can answer, but let's start in this time with Shay.
You know, I think that Washington in so many ways is out of touch with much of what's happening in the country. And beyond the question of what we're dealing with water is this whole issue of the growing inequality in this nation alongside the growing corporatized funding of the electoral process. And that is not good for democracy. That is a poisoning of democracy as sure as there's lead poisoning in water in Flint, and as sure as families are being shut off from water. This is a shut off of a democratic process that, for all its imperfections, have enabled us to move over the last century toward better lives for a lot of people. And that is being systematically undermined and turned around.
You want to add to that, Naira?
No, Shay said everything needed to be said about it.
Excellent. Now, Shay, you mentioned alternatives to politics as usual being articulated. Tell me, in your view, what does that look like?
First of all, there has been a tremendous compassionate outpouring among neighbors.
Absolutely.
In Detroit, when you see shutoffs, you will see neighbors coming together to share water. All through the summer, people were setting up water hoses from one house to another to be sure that people were cared for. So one of the most critical aspects of resistance has been the refusal to turn against one another. Instead, people are turning to each other to be able to support life in our neighborhoods. With that has been a strong effort to generate alternative sources for supporting human rights to water and to land. Some of that has been efforts to get rainwater and figure out how to clean that in ways that makes it usable and makes less strain on some kind of centralized system. Other ways have been to set up local community distribution systems of bottled water and tanks of water. So there's a tremendous network of people bringing in substitute forms of water in much the same way as the Montgomery bus boycott created an alternative transportation system. in Flint and Detroit, you see alternative water systems emerging at the community level.
I just want to interject because that's an interesting topic, but watch. Remember how we talk about corporate rule around here. As you try to become self-sufficient as water, watch them take claim to rainwater. Watch.
They already have.
Right. There you go.
It's illegal. Amazing. It's illegal in Michigan to collect rainwater.
There you go. I didn't know that. And you see, I just knew how it works, you know. Rainwater coming from the skies and you can't take it. Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I live in Utah. It's illegal here too. I mean, you know, go figure, but whatever.
That is crazy. Anyhow, at Move to Amend, we are building a movement to amend the Constitution to make clear that constitutional rights belong to human beings only, not corporations, and that money is not protected speech so it can be regulated in elections. We believe this is an important first step towards creating genuine democracy accountable to all people, regardless of race, gender, age, ability, religion, class, or anything I may have forgotten to put in there. Is this an effort that you can support?
The work that you're doing is very important. And I think that when we look at the history of this country, the first U.S. Constitution was written by a small group of men, most all white, to blunt the radical notions that were emerging about democracy. And we have an opportunity in the 21st century to create constitutional coming together that reflects the voices of everyone in this country, and particularly those who have been pushed to the side. So I commend what you're doing and am very, very glad to be part of this show today.
Well, look, we do appreciate having both of you here.
Naira, how about you?
I mean, I knew about Move to Amend for quite a while and have been on the email list. But I would just like to slightly piggyback on what Shay had previously said, is that we in Flint are, like, grateful with the outpouring of support and people coming together. I mean, people are just, like, hopping in their cars, loading up their SUV with water to bring it to Flint, and people just recognizing each other's humanity. And really, like, what we're doing in Flint is, like, we're creating new commons. We're creating new places for the commons where we can actually share and come together, because we recognize that the places that we were traditionally were recognized as the commons are no longer there for us. As we fight against the corporatization of our electoral process, the corporatization and privatization of our resources, and as we're privatizing everything, I still joke with my friends, I'm waiting for them to privatize the air I breathe in. I'm really waiting for that. So we need to come together, kind of beat back these things, because the corporations are soulless, and we have to find a way to either inject humanity or create our own parties that we can actually have those values lived in practice.
That is so well said.
Yeah, I agree. That was very well said. And, you know, this grassroots organizing has its tricks. There's tricks to it, that's for sure. It has its ups and its downs, and it's really great to hear that you know about us and that there are people that are taking in these concepts of we need to come together for our own sake, or there will be no American democracy. It'll be a thing of the past, and we need to do it soon. And we really support the great work you're doing there. It is so fine to hear about these alternative ways of people creating their own commons, because that's a lot about that stuff we talk about a lot, is expanding public space and taking over public space. So it's really great to hear that's going on there. So while I'm coming away from this conversation with the feeling that while what this emergency management is doing is a horrible, terrible blight on democracy, but at the same time, it's empowering a lot of people who are putting some great ideas into force and providing a great role models for the rest of this nation. So thank you for everything you're doing there. And with that, we're almost out of time. So this is your opportunity to make any final comment you'd like to our listeners. And please let our folks know how they can get involved with the Flint Democracy Defense League and Detroiters Resisting Emergency Management.
Well, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to talk with you and your listeners, and to encourage people to keep in touch through our websites, Detroiters Resisting Emergency Management, We the People of Detroit, and the People's Water Board. All are very, very fine, up-to-date resources. So thank you for everything you're doing.
I would like to thank you for inviting me on the show. And we're a little bit more low-key than Detroiters Resisting Emergency Management, but we have an email address, democracydefenseleague@gmail.com, and we're connected with We the People and everyone down in Detroit, so you can hook up with them, and they'll link you with us.
We sure will.
Email address again is democracydefenseleague@gmail.com. Thanks.
Yes.
Thanks. It's been great having you both here.
It has been a pleasure, folks. Please check out what's going on in Detroit. Check out what's going on in Flint. And please ask your people to check out Move to Amend and sign our petition at movetoamend.org. Please remember, these are serious times. So first of all, we all have to get involved and we all have to support each other. So both Shay and Naira, thank you for being here. It was our honor to have you here, giving us all this information.
Thank you so much.
You can support Move to Amend reports and other Move to Amend programs by joining our $28 for the 28th Amendment monthly sustainer campaign. Pledge $28 a month and help make the We the People Amendment our 28th Amendment to the Constitution. Visit movetoamend.org/donate to sign up.
That's it for this edition of Move to Amend Reports. Good night and have a great week.
Move to Amend Reports was created and brought to you by Move to Amend. Produced by national team members Keon Bliss, Laura Bonham, Egberto Willis, and Caitlin Saposi-Belknap, with the assistance of Renee Babcock, and with contributions from Move to Amend staff and affiliates. Opening theme entitled Move to Amend, performed by Shimako Noble and produced by Soul Circuitry.